Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
We're going to pray and then we're going to get straight into it. And I want to talk to you today about amazing faith. Everything that we need, we can receive by faith in the kingdom of God. Everything for eternity, everything that God has for our lives is accessed by faith. And if you want to title this message today, the title of this message is Take the Cap Off. Take the Cap Off. Help me to pray right now. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today for your amazing grace in our lives. Lord, it is by grace through faith that we are saved. Our faith is not in ourselves, not in what we can do, who we are, what we've done, or anything like that, or even what we're going to do. Our faith is in the living God, the creator of the universe, and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we declare today, in the presence of all witnesses in heaven and on earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, Lord of this church, Lord of this city, Lord of this nation, and Lord of this generation. And that his glory will be seen, and his light will shine in the darkness. We put our faith in the living God through the word of God. That gives us a foundation for everything that we believe. And so today, open us, open our hearts, open our minds, and may we take the cap off, so that we can receive everything you want for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, just before we start reading the scripture, I was going to preach something else, but something impacted me that I read a little while ago. And it was about faith, about living the way that God wants you to live. And there are many of us that don't always live in the blessing that God has for our lives. If we're honest, there are times that we are disappointed, we get distracted, there are times that we don't actually receive everything good that God wants for us to have. And one of the reasons why, I believe, is because of our own limitation. The limits we put upon God, upon his word, and upon what it is that he wants for our lives. And I read a thing the other day, they said, you know, you can get the whole of an ocean inside a bottle. You believe that? It's not magic. It's not about shrinking the ocean, and it's not about enlarging the bottle. It's just about changing your perception. The first thing that you have to do to get the whole of the Atlantic Ocean in this bottle is to take the cap off. Huh? Because until you take the cap off, you can't get anything in the bottle. And then people will say, well, it'll take a long time. But what's that got to do with it? If you're living with an eternal perspective, the fact is that it's possible, if you take the cap off. Is everyone with me right now? And quite often, there is a cap, a limitation that we place upon everything because we're looking in the wrong direction to get our needs met. More often than not, we look at ourselves. We look at the church and the people around us. We look at our strengths, our weaknesses. But we need to look at Jesus Christ and look no further. Are you with me today? Or are you still back out there on a windswept, sunny 10K, 5K, 1K, or even the non-K that you ran yesterday. Amen. Some of you didn't even have any special K in the morning. I don't know about that. But watch this. Luke chapter 7, verse 9. I'm going to read one verse. We're going to look at a few scriptures and get back into the story. But it's about when Jesus was amazed. How many of you want to amaze Jesus? Oh, let me just go home. Preach to myself. How many of you want to amaze Jesus? Let me see your hands. Huh? You got to get a little bit active. If you want to amaze Jesus, this guy was a centurion. He was a Gentile. In Luke chapter 7, we read about his story. And one verse sticks out to me, and I want to read it right now. It says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. The centurion had said something. When Jesus heard what the centurion had said, he was amazed. Wow. This man amazed Jesus. Turning to the crowd that was following him, Jesus said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this. In one translation, it says, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to turn around and say that about me. I want Jesus to turn around and say that about this church and this ministry. Wow! Wow! I haven't seen this faith for a long time. Come on now. Huh? You want to be noticed? You want to make a difference? You want your life to count? Then it's about faith. But we have to understand what that means. Huh? So my question is today, how's your faith? Because if it's rusty, you haven't used it for a while, you maybe, you know, your faith was relevant once. But if you're not meeting the right need now, then it's irrelevant, even though it could have been relevant once. Because relevance is meeting the right need right now. If it's rusty, it might be time to polish it. Listen, I believe that faith is the key to the most amazing things we've ever experienced happening in our lives in this next season of our lives. And I don't know if you're aware of this, and I'm into this. I don't make a big thing of it, but we still have to be aware of these things. That next Thursday, the 21st, is the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah. For the 21st into the 22nd, Thursday into Friday, it's the Jewish New Year. That starts a new set of biblical feasts, a new timeline in the biblical timeline. And you have to understand that even though we don't, you know, we don't follow these things, we don't have to follow these things, we're not bound to these things, every single major event in the Bible, in the New Testament, happened at one of the feasts. So this begins a new cycle. It's a new season. You don't have to wait until, you know, December the 31st. You don't have to wait to wait to New Year to make a New Year's resolution that you're going to forget after about 3 weeks. Huh? Now, some of you would have a six-pack and you would have been running the 10K because last New Year's Eve, you said, I'm going to run the 10K this year. Huh? But after about 3 weeks and after two runs, you forgot about it. We don't have to wait till then. Right now, this week, this coming week, there is an opportunity for us to zone in, tune in, get involved in, get in line with the biblical timeline and make a new start and have a new season within our lives. How many of you would like that? How many of you that excites you? How many of you know that you could do something right now? Decisions you make right now can affect the next phase of your life. Let me see your hand. Because it's true. Marks a new biblical season of opportunity and promise. And I don't know about you, but I want to start everything in faith. Amen? So what is faith? Biblical faith, in a nutshell, is a belief and a conviction about God through His Word. It is a conviction about God through His Word, from the basis of His self-revelation, that changes your life. It changes the way that you are. Are you with me? Changes the way you think, changes the way you feel, changes the way you act. It affects your character and it affects your will. And it deals with your desires to such a degree that through faith, your desires, your natural desires, tune in with the spiritual desires of a holy God. Hebrews 11 verses 1 and 2 tell us about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. How many of you want a good testimony? I want a good testimony, man. This church has a good testimony in this city. You know why? It's because we've done so much with so little for so long, and we've seen so much transformation take place when everyone thought that we would never amount to anything because we were originally just a drug addict church. But how many of you know now a lot of those drug addicts now have got degrees and have got jobs and are married and are parents and are members of society making a difference, are ministers of the gospel, are preaching the holy word of God and living in a way that makes a mockery of the forces of darkness that came against their lives. Now we've got doctors and lawyers and family members, and we've got butchers and bakers and candlestick makers. We've got all sorts of people, all different colors, all different backgrounds, from all different nations and experiences that are gathered together around the word of God by the Spirit of God, reaching out to do the work of God. Powerful stuff. And we have a good testimony, man. Because of faith. Then it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to give us a few things that faith is, and then we're going to see what faith can do. Firstly, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance. Substance. It's not flaky. It's not, you know, well, maybe. There's substance to it. You know, there's when God speaks, there's substance in that, because his word cannot be broken. We hope for the things, for these things, because they're promised by God. You know, I might hope for something that you promised, but how many of you know, I've been waiting for some things that some of you have promised for a long time. I've been waiting for a bit of chicken from some of you. I've been waiting to go out to dinner. I've been waiting for this and that. Hello. And you've probably been waiting for things from me because we're fallible human beings. But God is infallible. He is not a human being. He's above everything. He is more than everything we could even hope or imagine. He is the answer to every problem, every equation, and more. And when he says a thing, you can rely upon it. There is substance to that. It's not our own abilities or resources that we have to rely on, but God's. So faith is taking the promises and instructions of God's word as fact and then standing upon them. I don't know about you, but that is a firm foundation. That's got substance. That ain't shaky ground, man. How many of you have ever stood on shifting sand, or, you know, you've stood on a puddle of ice and then the ice broke and your foot went into the puddle? Come on now. You ended up with froze foot all day. Monique's looking at me like I can remember the pain of that. But God's word is substance. Second thing. Faith is evidence of things that we haven't seen yet personally. Some of you know there's some things that we read in the Word of God, some promises that are made, some things that we hope for that we haven't necessarily seen personally in our lives yet, but because God has said it, because other people have testified of it, then the faith that we have is based upon that, and then we put our faith then into practice. We can have confidence in God's word because of what we can see that has always happened to those people who have taken God at his word. Hebrews chapter 11 is a whole chapter that of people that have received a good testimony for their actions based upon their faith. When people acted in faith, right the way back to the beginning, we see that they had a good testimony and God blessed them. How many of you want to get blessed? This active faith pleases God. You know, there's only two times in the New Testament that it says Jesus was amazed. Two times. And both of these have to do with faith. Watch this. In Luke 7:9 and Matthew 8:10, about this kind of subject, they both use a Greek word, thumadso. Everyone say it, thumadso. Come on, say it. Thumadso. Amen. Someone's teeth nearly popped out when they said that then. Thumadso. And we translate that as marveled or amazed. And it describes Jesus' response to the faith of the centurion. That's one time. He was amazed at what the centurion said. The only other time that this word, thumazo, is used to describe Jesus' response to other people's faith in the whole New Testament is in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, where he is amazed at the lack of faith in the people of Nazareth where he was brought up. Because he couldn't do any miracles there. Because they looked at him and they saw him as the young kid that grew up with them. And the blow, you know, he was just Joseph and Mary's son. And he might not have even been Joseph's son. Whisper, whisper, whisper. Oh, he had a bit of a background, this one. And they looked at him and they knew him. And because of their familiarity with him, when he came there in his power, in his anointing, he couldn't do any miracles because of their lack of faith. And that was the only other time that he was amazed. And it wasn't because of the greatness of their faith. It was because of the smallness of their faith. What would Jesus say if he came into your prayer closet? If he stepped into your life right now? If he came into this church? Would he be amazed at the greatness of our faith? Or would he be amazed at the smallness of our faith? I don't know. Or would he not even be amazed? I believe that some places he goes to, Jesus is just not amazed. He's like, whatever. You know what I mean? Some places he goes, he's like, man, I can't even do nothing. They don't even believe that I can set someone free. They know the scriptures, they sing the songs, they've got a nice little organization there. But how many of you know everyone's still messed up, bound up, broke up, tore up, speaking about each other, fighting each other, stabbing each other in the back, being greedy, licking their wounds and wanting everything to be done for them? I'm amazed at their lack of faith. Because if they stood upon my word and they acted upon it, then they would be set free. They would be filled up. They would be blessed. They would be together. They would... I want him to be amazed by the greatness of our faith. That even with one little word that he says, that we stand upon it and we say, you know what? They say once a drug addict, always a drug addict. But we say that in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It don't matter where you're from, you need Jesus. It don't matter what your experience. It might be to put your mind back together, to put your heart back together, to put your family back together, to get you back on the road of your destiny. Whatever it is, that one little promise from God that you act upon can bring amazement to him. Imagine that. The centurion in our scripture had just heard about Jesus and what he could do. I don't even think he'd seen it for himself. But he got it. He got it. Look at what it says. Go back to verse 2, Luke chapter 7. It says, at that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer, the centurion, heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. That was unusual in itself. So there are two unusual things we see. He loved his slave and he was loved by the Jews. He must have been doing some good stuff. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and he even built a synagogue for us. It's heavy. So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the centurion sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Watch this. Watch this. Get ready. This is going to signal a breakthrough in someone's life today if you catch this. This is where you're going to get set free. This is where something's going to be unlocked. This is where something's going to be unleashed. He says this, he said, just say the word. From where you are, my servant will be healed. Just say the word and he will be healed. That is amazing faith. And then he qualifies it like this. He said, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. I'm in submission. And therefore, I have authority over my soldiers that are under me. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. This dude gets it. He gets it. He understands how things work. He understands the cosmic order, the eternal order. That God is above, and if he says it and you do it, it shall be done. But we make it so difficult. We make it so complicated. Huh? Well, I have to do this first, and I have to clean myself first, and I have to wash myself first, and I have to crawl over broken glass first, and I have to get a second opinion, and I have to put a fleece down, and I have to pray about it. If God says it, who are you going to go and pray to about it? God said it. It's like if I say to my daughter, Lily, I want you to go and clean your room. And then she goes, let me go and ask someone. Let me go and ask my dad about it. Well, I'm your dad. I just told you. Are you with me? But sometimes we get all weird about this stuff. And you know what we do? We sterilize the word of God to make it fit into our mindset and our 21st century understanding and consciousness based upon the things that we have around us and the propaganda that's fed to us. When all throughout the word of God, the people of God stood upon the word of God, acted upon it, saw miracles take place, saw blessing flow, and were persecuted for it. That's why a lot of Christians won't stand in faith. And I'm not talking about name it and claim it and all that nonsense. I'm talking about the word of God, about transformed lives. I'm talking about the kingdom culture that goes into everywhere like yeast and changes and transforms people's lives and experiences. Huh? It's heavy. Number three, so faith is not just about what we think. You can think about it. I know many people that would cross a city to win a doctrinal argument about faith, but they wouldn't cross the street to win a soul in faith. They can tell you what faith is, but you look at the evidence of their life and there is no evidence of faith within their life. There is no real blessing in their life. I know people like that. Huh? But faith is action. True faith causes us to step up for the cause of heaven and not just step back to take care of our own self. And that's a good thing, man. It trusts God for his absolute best and then looks forward to it by acting upon it. God says it, you step out on it, you see the result of it. And I can preach this simple biblical doctrinal, theological word right now, and still some of you are going to go away and not act. But some of you will. Hallelujah. In fact, I believe most of you in this place will. Because I believe there is an atmosphere of transformation in this church, because you might not have seen it personally in your own life, but you've seen the people healed from hepatitis, and you've seen the people walking around with this sickness that is no longer a power over their life. You've seen the drug addicts and the alcoholics set free with no withdrawal symptoms. You've seen people get blessed. You've seen people walk through situations that were stormy and should have taken them down, but instead they came through the fire, glowing, clean, set free. Number four, faith is rewarded by God. You know, when we speak about giving and tithes and offerings, it's not to give to get, because that's kind of a carnal thing. It's like an investment, speculate to accumulate. Someone will put in a little bit because they want a lot back, and it becomes an equation. But how many of you know that when it's a covenant, when you're giving because it's the right thing to do, then the fact is that you will be blessed by God that can never be outgiven. You can never be over generous to God. He's always more generous than you. Whatever it is that you give to him based upon his word in faith and you act upon it, then you will receive. Everywhere you see that in the word of God. Whether it's a prayer, whether it's your offering, whether it's an action, whether it's your time, whether it's friendship, you're going to receive because faith is rewarded. When we believe who God says he is and that he will act upon what he promises, it pleases him, and that's a good thing. And we end up receiving what we need to live complete. That's basically what it is. You know, if I need money and I ain't got it, but I need to do something, I'll pray and God will bless me. I'll pray, I'll give, and I'll receive. Yesterday, we went over there, and the weather report was rain, and, you know, it was going to be rainy, and I know that it was posited in some of our meetings that maybe we should not do it, and we should do it in church, and we should be under the cover just in case. But how many of you know, me and my wife are not just in case people. That's not how we roll, man. We don't roll just in case. We roll, God said, it's going to be all right. And if it's raining all around us, we're going to pray to the God that controls the rain because we're doing his will and we believe he's good, that even if it's raining all around us, we're going to have a circle of sunshine above us. And some people, and we prayed. You know, my wife, we got up there. When I got there, it was spitting. Everyone was miserable, hiding coats on, hoods up. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. And straight away, something rose up within me because I know my God. And the thing is, I'm not just doing it because I've heard it. I'm doing it because I've seen it. I've seen him do it. Every year at Run for Hope, it rains until we start the Run for Hope and open up in prayer. And then the sun comes out. So what's different this year, man? So I got up there. What do I do? I weren't feeling particularly good. I've been jet lagged for weeks. I've been traveling all over the place. I'm knackered and mangled. My knee was hurting. My back was hurting. My nose was hurting. Even my ears was hurting. I was cold. I was wet. I was tired. I was hungry. And I'm looking around. Rain coming. I'm like, you know what? What do I do, Lord? And I got that. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was fire. This is rain. That was a lot. This is nothing. And straight away, it was like, you know what? They went into a fire. We just got to deal with a little bit of rain. I don't know what's worse. I think fire's worse. A little bit of rain we can handle. We're used to that. And so we said, you know what? We're going to do this. And I believe that God can take away the rain and the sun's going to come out. But even if he doesn't and it still rains, we ain't going to be defeated. We're going to dance in the rain. We'll rave in the rain. We'll praise God in the rain. We'll have a holy outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And even we might get soaking wet, but we're still going to give God the glory. We believe he can stop the rain, but even if he doesn't, we ain't bowing down. Because we believe in a God that is blessed and amazed by our faith. And we prayed, and I said, sun's going to come out. And then 5 minutes later, the rain stopped, the clouds were gray, and then all of a sudden, there was a shaft of sunlight came. And people were just going about their business. And then the shaft of sunlight became a circle of sunlight. Till in the end, people had their coats off. They were in t-shirts, sweating, complaining about how hot it was. Huh? Faith is rewarded by God. So in a nutshell, our faith is placed on the firm foundation of God's instructions and promises so we can act confidently on them because we can see the results either in someone else's life or our life, and then the rewards of what happened when other people acted in faith become our rewards as well. So how's your faith today? What are you trusting God for, man? Huh? What are you hoping for? Breakthrough? Huh? Hoping for change? What are you hoping for? What foundations are you standing upon? Some people say, Pastor, I ain't got no faith. You ain't read the Bible in a year. Where do you know that? Because I put a check in there for £100 and it ain't been cashed yet. last time I was around your house? Some of you are thinking, when was the last time he was around my house? You're going to go back, you're going to look in your Bible today, man. Huh? What are you standing on, man? Is it based on God's truth or is it based on someone else's opinion? Is it based on your feeling, the way you're feeling? Is it based on the way you're thinking, the way that you've been trained to think? Whatever it is, you'll see it in your actions. Financially, are you a consistent, faithful covenant giver? Are you cheerful and sacrificial? Are you basing things on what God says, or are you basing things on what the bank statement says? If you're basing things on what God says, you'll be blessed. If you base things on what the bank statement says, I don't know about you, but you get stressed. I get stressed when I read the bank statement. Huh? But God comes through all the time. Are you with me? Huh? Spend less than you earn, and you'll be more blessed than you deserve. And then give what's God's, and you'll receive what God wants to give you. What about your health? You standing on the word of God, praying it through, and settling for nothing less? Or are you listening to someone else's report and just giving up the fight? This is how I'm always going to be. And even if you are going to be like that, my wife's leg, unless all of a sudden there's a miracle and she grows bone and new skin on her leg, then she's going to be the same as she is. But you wouldn't look at her and say she was disabled and a cripple. She's not. She functions properly. She works well. She looks amazing. She's not limited by bone cancer and what it did. Her only limits are in heaven. And how many of you know? There ain't none. Huh? What about your habits? You want to give something up? Huh? Your little secret muncher? Wake up in the night, go and eat that bit of chicken. Come on now. Some of you are eating chicken covered in chocolate. I know. Huh? Make more rice than you need. Hello. A little bit of jollof rice extra. Come on now. And you end up eating it at night and eating it when you shouldn't. What about your habits? What about your working habits? You're working all the time, giving no time to your family. What about your TV habits? You watching things you shouldn't watch? Come on now. You can justify Game of Thrones and all that as much as you like. Come on now. Everyone's into it. I watched it twice. Every time I saw it, someone was having sex or cutting someone's head off. Horribly. Even at the same time, I think. It was weird. But you can justify it, you know what I mean? As your habits. Are you doing what God says about your drinking? Your smoking? Huh? That's your porn habit. Yeah, I went there. Huh? Are you doing what God says? Are you on His word, or are you just going through the motions and you're just getting messed up time and time again and falling into the same trap because you're looking at you and your inability to overcome and break through? Or are you looking at God that says, I can do it. I can break through. What about your nightmares where the enemy comes and lies to you and still tries to steal from you? Are you basing it upon your strength and your lack of spirituality at the time, or your total spirituality at the time? Or are you basing it upon the finished work of the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus that never gets diluted, never wears thin, never wears out, but still has the same power and authority? What about the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach? Are you trying to say, in the name of that Jesus that Pastor Paul preaches about, I'm telling you to leave me alone? Or are you coming with the authority of the Jesus that you know, that you love, that you're standing upon Him, the rock of your salvation, and you're declaring, thus saith the Lord, it is written, get away. I'm a man under authority. I'm a woman under authority. I am submitted to God. Therefore, devil, I resist you. You must flee. How's your soul? You're living in disobedience to God, even while you're coming to church. You're still under the judgment of a holy God that he's placed upon sin. You're in defiance and rebellion. You honor him with your lips, but your heart's far from him. Whatever, wherever, your faith is rusty, or you've put a lid on your life, repent, turn around, change your mind, turn back to him, take the lid off, take the cap off, stand on his word, trust in his promises, trust in his nature, trust in his name, trust in who he is, and act upon it. Be released, be set free, make a shift in your actions. Turn from the direction you've been going in and get in the pathway of faith that God has prepared for you so that you will fulfill your destiny and reach your destination and then become like one of those that we read about in the chapter of faith in Hebrews. Become like the centurion. Become like someone that amazes Jesus. Not because your lack of faith, but because of your great faith. Where you just say, you know what? You don't even have to come. I don't have to see you. I don't have to see someone raised from the dead in front of me. Just give me your word and I believe that it will be done. Stand to your feet. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, this new season, we trust in you. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation rises against nation and people against people. There are earthquakes, there are tidal waves, there are calamities, catastrophes, there is terrorism and violence, murder. People are marrying and burying, just as in the days of Noah. We hear about strange happenings, governmental weirdness and secrets. Lord, we believe that the end of things is going to be shocking. We believe that the end of the world is going to be shocking, but only for those that do not know you. Lord, but for us who trust in the name of Jesus, we want to act in faith. We want to polish off our little faith. We want to stretch our faith muscles. We want to stand upon your word and see what it is that you want to do through us in this next season. Help us take the cap off of our lives, of limitation, of self, of inwardness, of defeat, a victim mentality. We're Victory Outreach International. You've called us to this ministry to get the victory, to reach out to the hurting, and to go into all the world and do it, making disciples of all the nations. Holy Spirit, move in this place right now, I pray. Touch us, convict where necessary, confirm where you want this message in people's lives. If we've been stuttering or suffering from a lack of faith, then my God, I pray that the pipes would open, that the wheels would be oiled, that there would be fuel placed within the tank. Fill us up today, oh God. And let us look forward to what it is that you've promised, because today is the day, now is the time. Help us in this place, in Jesus' name. Just come quickly to this altar and just make an altar before the Lord and begin to pray again, begin to ask again. Show me, Lord, show me. Begin to lift up an area to him, maybe, that you need a breakthrough or you need to get an instruction. And let the Lord begin to highlight to you a word, a scripture, a promise, a memory, a situation, a testimony. Because he will show you, he will give you the right instructions in the right season for the right reason. And then all you have to do is you have to stand upon his word and upon his nature and upon his revelation of himself. And you have to stand upon that and not be moved and not be shaken and not be defeated, pulled away or distracted, but stand upon it and say, it is written, thus saith the Lord. Lord, Lord, you've said it, I believe it. Now I'm going to wait to receive it. And if it's his will, so that you can do his will, then you will receive everything you need to fulfill the will of God for your life. That's his promise. Come on, lift up your hands. Begin to pray. Begin to cry out to God. Sometimes desperation, put in the right direction, will release God's inspiration in your life. And you will see and you will know and it will be revealed to you. And it'll be a wow moment. There'll be a sinking down of his truth into your spirit. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Come on.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.